There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live, presented by ZipRecruiter.
The 2018 Heisman Trophy is awarded to Kyler Murray of Oklahoma University.
This is an honor, something that, you know, I'll never forget, and something I'll always cherish for the rest of my life. Nobody really knows how hard these past couple years have been for me, but you and my family, through it all, you pushed me, you kept me going, you kept me focused.
At the end of the day, you know, I knew once my time came, I'd be ready to go. To go back to back with Bake, a good friend of mine, I can't put it into words, it hasn't sunk in. This is incredible.
Welcome to College Football Live. Rutledge, McElroy, Galloway here with you. And of course, as we just saw, the Heisman Trophy awarded to Kyler Murray. So now we get a chance to react to this a little bit. And Greg, we'll start with you. Did they get it right with Kyler Murray winning the Heisman Trophy?
The beauty is, with the three candidates that were there in New York, the committee essentially couldn't get it wrong, because the only people that got it wrong were the people that did not have Dwayne Haskins, Kyler Murray, or Tua Tagovailoa as number one on their ballot. Kyler Murray is a terrific quarterback. You can see this a lot of different ways. If you want to go strictly by stats and carrying your team, then Dwayne Haskins would have had a legitimate say. If you want to go based off of what Tua did against top-tier defensive competition, then how can you argue with his candidacy? But Kyler Murray, the way he was consistently able to make plays in an electric way throughout the course of the season, proved that he was a worthy Heisman Trophy winner, and they absolutely got it right.
I agree with you. They could have gone with any of these three candidates. They were all terrific. They were all great, and they all had moments in a season. The most incredible stat I think I saw was from Chris Felica, though, when he tweeted out that Kyler Murray had 200 more plays than Tua, and Dwayne Haskins had 200 more plays than Kyler Murray. I think the way that Alabama used Tua in this season, because he didn't play in a lot of second halves, it made the margin for error razor thin for Tua. And so at the end, when he got banged up and had to leave games, I think it opened the door for Kyler Murray to step in and take this trophy away. And so it's interesting when you look at it that way, the amount of plays that these guys had, but all three guys were terrific.
This adds such a unique element, too, to the Capital One Orange Bowl on December 29th, because we get to see Kyler Murray against Tua Tagovailoa in that game. Can't wait for that one. And when you talk about back-to-back winners from Oklahoma, Joey, we saw Kyler talking about Baker Mayfield and his relationship with him. Do you think it's more about these guys as talented quarterbacks, or more about the system at Oklahoma that allows for big-time numbers?
I think it's a combination of both. And I said this last season, and the Twitter Oklahoma fans took it as an insult to Baker Mayfield. And really, I was complimenting Lincoln Riley and his offense. And I said, when you watch this offense on the field and you watch these quarterbacks operate, a lot of times they're throwing the ball to wide open wide receivers because the offense is so good. The play calling is so good that a lot of times it is a first read offense. And their first read, the first receiver, a lot of times is wide open. And so the quarterback just has to deliver the ball. Now, that doesn't take away from the talent level and what these quarterbacks are doing, because they're on the field, they're making these throws, they're making these runs and doing those kind of things. But, man, this offense is absolutely fun to watch, and I appreciate the way Lincoln Riley, not just, you know, it's his offense, but the play calling has been terrific.
Yeah, it's tailor-made to have success as a quarterback. It can't be one without the other. The system and the player combined into one develops Heisman Trophy winners. And another thing, too, look, the Heisman Trophy, yeah, Kyler Murray's the only one on that Oklahoma team that's going to be able to have that on his mantle for the rest of time. But it's not an individual award necessarily. So not only does Lincoln Riley deserve credit, but how about the supporting cast? Because Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray were very much benefited by outstanding playmakers around them. Marquise Hollywood Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Calcaterra, last year Mark Andrews, Dimitri Flowers off last year's team, and the offensive line, which remained for the most part intact for a better part of the season, is a big reason why Kyler Murray took home that trophy yet again. It's a tremendous supporting cast with outstanding playmakers, and the system really works perfectly with all those pieces coming together.
You mentioned that Heisman Trophy that will be on Kyler Murray's mantle or wherever he decides to keep it for the rest of time. And a lot of people have wondered about Kyler with the football in his future or baseball. Of course, he already was a draft pick of the Oakland A's. He was asked what he would rather do, Heisman Trophy or win a World Series. Here's what he had to say.
I'd rather win a Heisman.
You thought about what you might say?
I mean, no disrespect to World Series.
Okay, so you heard what he had to say there. Obviously, some of that probably has to do with where he was in this particular moment. But when you think about his future, Greg, and whether he decides to play baseball or whether he decides to play football, look, I'm not asking you to be a Major League Baseball scout, but what do you think makes the most sense for him if he does play football? Where do you think he ends up getting drafted?
Well, if I were him, I'd definitely put my name in the NFL draft. I mean, why wouldn't I? You want to give me $6 million? Sure, why not? I'll go in the first round if you want to choose me, by all means. But long term, he's going to be best served playing baseball. I mean, his size is going to probably hurt him a little bit at the next level. Now, the game's changing a little bit. We're seeing more and more quarterbacks that are sub 6 feet have success in the NFL. But long term sustainability, guaranteed dollars in the MLB, he's got to pursue that avenue. Couple that with the fact that he was a 9th overall pick for an organization like the Oakland Athletics that's really good when it comes to developing players and homegrown talent. So now I love the fit that he has there in Oakland. I'm not a baseball expert by any stretch, but I do follow it close enough to know that his future is probably a little brighter on the diamond than it is on the gridiron.
I wouldn't even consider playing football if I was Kyler Murray, not just because I don't think he can play. He can play, but his style of play, he likes to run the football. And 5'9 at 100 and let's say 90 pounds, running the football doesn't last very long in the NFL. It doesn't matter who you are. If you have that kind of body style, then it's not going to last. We've seen RG3. He ran the ball well for about a year, then he went out. Lamar Jackson actually went out in yesterday's game because he's a running quarterback. And so you don't see football players playing into their 40s. If I was Kyler Murray, I would go play baseball. I would work out like I'm playing football, and I would play baseball for the next 40 years. If baseball players ever worked out, 40? They could play it forever. Yes, I would play it forever if I was Kyler Murray. What? You couldn't even say NFL to me. I'd be so ready to go play baseball.
Now, Joey, let me just stop you right there. He's trying to say, Greg, that baseball players don't work out. I mean, there might
That's
be some that don't work out as others, but that,
yes, I
we're
am.
Not throwing that kind of shade right here on College Football Live. Either
oh,
way,
stop
who
it.
Knew?
Stop it.
Who knew
I know,
you're
going to
get Major League Baseball scouting
does.
On this show?
Don't take it as a slight.
We get it.
I've been to baseball workouts before, and I'm sitting there wondering, when's the workout going to start? Okay.
Joey Galloway, workout warrior
Stop
right there.
It.
Also, Greg McElroy, big-time Dodgers fan. So for him to give credit to the Oakland A's, that was huge as well. Let's do a
American
way
League,
too early.
American League, not worried about them. They're American League and they're a small market franchise. I'm not worried about them. We're good. Dodgers, big market.
I love it. Way too early look at next year's Heisman race, and this is what it looks like as we give you some names there. Tua Tagovailoa right at the top of that list. Trevor Lawrence, I like that. Jonathan Taylor, too. A lot of people forgot about him at Wisconsin this year, but he has already won an award. And Travis Etienne and Rondell Moore at Purdue. What sticks out to you about this list? We'll start with you, Joey.
I like Jonathan Taylor. Of course, Tua is going to be the number one coming back. And it'd be interesting to see if they use him a little different next season, maybe let him play in the third quarter a couple times. But Jonathan Taylor probably had the quietest 2,000 yards ever in the history of college football. Because Wisconsin did not have the kind of season in the Big Ten West that a lot of people thought they would have, he sort of fell off the radar, but he's a very talented running back. He'll be back. They'll always have a terrific offensive line at Wisconsin. So I'm looking at Jonathan Taylor to be the one that steps up and challenges Tua.
First of all, he's not a 2,000-yard back. He's rushed for 1,989 yards. So you need
to
get your math straight, Galloway.
Come
last
on.
Time I checked, that's
game.
Less than enough. In all seriousness, how can you not start and finish with Tua? Look, one thing about this year was unique for Tua Tagovailoa is that they really made it a point of emphasis to get Jalen Hurts meaningful reps. So Jalen Hurts was on the field in a number of second quarters, even sometimes in the first quarter, and then obviously in the third quarter and fourth quarter where he got most of his playing time. That won't be the case next year if Jalen Hurts transfers the way all of us expect him to. So it'll be Tua's show for at least two quarters, maybe three, and you would think they would probably try to pad his stats a little bit given that he came up short this year. So I'm starting with Tua. I plan on finishing with Tua. It's hard to go wire to wire as the Heisman Trophy favorite, but if anybody can, it's more than likely Tua given the way he played this season.
Yeah, I think, too, another big thing with Tua is that a lot of his offensive weapons, Jerry Jeudy, some of these other guys, they're so young. They're all coming back. So he's got that wealth of weaponry right around him. I don't even know if weaponry is a word, but we're going to pretend like it is.
Absolutely.
As we continue on College Football Live. And, guys, when we come back, talking a little Harbaugh. He doubled down, saying he's coming back to Michigan, not going to the NFL. We'll get everyone's thoughts on that as we continue on College Football Live on this Monday.
College Football Live is presented by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And in part by Allstate, reminding you that football season is mayhem. And Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Back on College Football Live with Galloway and McElroy. And on Sunday, Jim Harbaugh dismissed the annual NFL rumors, telling our Adam Schefter that he will not leave Michigan and has, quote, big plans there. So when we think about this, and it always comes up this time of year, is Harbaugh going to leave? Is he going to go to the NFL? There are some big-time NFL jobs that could be open. But, Greg, why do you think that Harbaugh should stay at Michigan?
He should stay there for as long as humanly possible, because 10-2 in the NFL ain't happening. So I appreciate very much what it was that he accomplished this season. Now, does he need to win against Florida in the Peach Bowl? Absolutely, because you cannot go into multiple off seasons in a row by losing several games in a row. This year it would be a 2-game losing streak. Last year it was a multi-game losing streak. You can't do it. There's too much negativity surrounding the program, especially the way things went when you played against Ohio State. He should look at Michigan. He should appreciate this job. I absolutely believe that he does. And I really genuinely think, guys, that we, as media members, are the ones that stir this up every year. We have to ask the question, but it's not really fair for him to have to continue to answer. He's at Michigan. He's proud to be at Michigan. He's done a pretty dang good job for the most part.
Greg, the bowl game record is a far, far distant behind the record against Ohio State, the record against Michigan State. That's what matters at Michigan. He's starting to build some momentum. They're a top 10 team. They were favored going against Ohio State, which hadn't happened in a while. They couldn't pull off the win. They got blown out. But he is starting to build something. He's starting to have classes there where now these are all his guys. The recruiting classes are looking better. And so it would be surprising to me to see him lose when he's on the verge. Now, Urban Meyer leaves Ohio State, and so Jim Harbaugh sitting in Michigan, they got to be looking at this thing thinking, okay, we beat Michigan State, but we lost to Ohio State. We might be able to go in there now and start to get some wins against this Ohio State team now that Urban Meyer is gone. I'd be really surprised to see him leave before he finishes what he came to Michigan to do.
There's always like this buzz, like every year, man, oh, we'll keep an eye on all these college coaches that might be pursuing NFL gigs. Same thing with Lincoln Riley right now. Like, really, Lincoln Riley's going to leave Oklahoma, where he can stay for 2 decades as the head coach, and leave for the Cleveland Browns, where they fire a coach every 2.5 years? Like, no chance. That's not happening. So, guys, the NFL, it might in some people's eyes look like a bigger, better opportunity, but man, I'm not sure that that's the same way it is in the eyes of the college coaches now, with the job stability and the amount of money you can make at this level.
Yeah, the one thing about the NFL is you don't have to recruit. Another thing, too, is I think a lot of these offenses that we're seeing in the NFL have success have come from some of these college offenses. And so everyone's just going to make these jumps every single time that these guys from college are going to the NFL level. Okay, here's some other news that came out of Auburn. Gus Malzahn hiring Kenny Dillingham, the new offensive coordinator, just 29 years old, actually younger than McElroy and I. Joey's not even in this conversation, so we'll just keep moving with that. Dillingham orchestrated one of the nation's best offenses in his lone season as Memphis's OC in 2018, and head coach Gus Malzahn still expected to call plays. So, Greg, when you hear about this, how important is this hire for Malzahn's future, especially knowing that he will be the guy calling the plays still as it stands right now?
Well, I'm approaching it with a little skepticism, just seeing that right now Gus Malzahn is the brain trust offensively for Auburn. I get that. The problem is Gus Malzahn has tried to delegate responsibility and it hasn't worked so well. So who's the guy that's going to challenge him in that offensive meeting room right now? I'm not saying he need to go and be an insubordinate. No, not by any stretch. But right now the two people that are listed as coordinators are a guy that played for him and Cody Burns, and now Dillingham, who's 29 years old. Do you really think after only 1 year where he's been the OC at Memphis, office, he's willing to step in and say, Coach, I see it this way. No, I feel like Gus has surrounded himself with guys that are going to say yes no matter what to whatever it is Gus has to say. And I'm not sure that's the best way moving forward going against some of the great defenses they're going to have to face week in and week out in the West.
I don't know how many of these offensive coordinators, regardless of how old you are, I don't know how many of them are strong-arming these coaches, especially in their area. And so we know Gus Malzahn to be an offensive football coach. We always give him credit for what he's been able to do, the different looks he gives you. And so I don't know that the age matters. I don't think that anybody's walking into that offensive coordinator position at Auburn and be able to tell Gus Malzahn what to do. But we're talking about a fresh young mind in Coach Dillingham, and so he might have some ideas. And those ideas, regardless of the age, have to come across Gus Malzahn's table, and Gus Malzahn has to look at him and say, I think that's a great idea. I think this is terrific. And I don't think the age has anything to do with it, but if
but
he has great ideas, then
Joey,
those players will work. Experience what, though?
29 is 29, but I mean, 1 year, of 2 years ago, he was a spotter, a quote-unquote spotter for Daryl Dickey, who was the OC at the time for Memphis, and now he's had 1 year of experience. Now, all of a sudden, he's at Auburn, which is one of the premier jobs in the SEC. I just, man, that's a pretty quick acceleration up the ladder. Usually, you have to kind of grind to get in that spot. I just might be a little too early for me.
Here's the thing. Who wants that spot? What offensive coordinator that you know has been out there, been in it for years, wants the Auburn offensive coordinator spot when you know no matter what, it's Gus Malzahn's offense. And so I don't know anyone that is like banging down the door to come work there as the offensive coordinator because you just have the title. And so if you're looking for fresh ideas, new things, why not go to a 29-year-old? Sounds like it makes sense to me.
The one thing that I would say is I don't know who's going to play quarterback there. And so that may be even more of a deal. And to you guys' point, if you're thinking about somebody who wants to go there, look, you got to look around and say, who's going to be my quarterback? That's an uncertain question at this point. But are some big time free agents now in college football who could end up there, certainly. OK, how about this? Speaking of quarterbacks, we're seeing now that Will Grier has announced he will miss his bowl game. And look, we talk about a lot of these big time guys who are going to be top draft picks doing this, making these decisions. But Joey, do we hold quarterbacks to a different standard? Is it a little weirder to see a quarterback missing a bowl game than it is another guy?
I wouldn't say it's weirder. I think that this is the direction that we're headed now. The thing I'm wondering is, why are they waiting to the end? Like, why not wait to the middle? Will Grier has been an outstanding quarterback, and everyone knew he's going to be a high draft pick. So why finish the season nowadays? Like, why not go 5-6 games like a Nick Bosa did? You know, he got injured. We don't know if he's coming back or not, but he said, hey, I'm out of here. I'm going to get ready for the draft in the middle of the season. And so if guys have this mentality where I'm not going to the bowl game because I'm going to get ready for the draft, I'm not quite sure what is making them stick around to the end of the season itself, because you can go get ready for the draft at any point in time.
The quarterbacks are held to a higher standard, and they should be. They have to be the consummate team player, and the offense will not function at its best without the quarterback out there. And honestly, if you're a quarterback, you're in a position where you're protected. Now, can you get injured? Of course. You can also get injured walking down the stairs, depending on how athletic or unathletic you are. But I look at Will Grier, and this is really the first quarterback that we've seen voluntarily skip the bowl game that is a top-tier guy. Josh Rosen missed the bowl game last year, but that was because he had not yet been cleared from concussion protocol. So this is not a good trend for this position. Quarterbacks, it's just you're held to a different standard than a defensive lineman or an offensive line, running back, linebacker. All those positions are positions that are literally put in the crosshairs of an injury, and I understand those guys being willing to sit out, but not quarterback. This is not a practice I want to see, because so much about being a quarterback is love of game, passion for game, and willingness to go out there and sacrifice for your teammates. And I think Will Grier might be hurting himself, because he's going to have to probably answer some difficult questions that wouldn't be asked of his teammates that play other positions.
Greg, I'm not quite sure why you think that those questions are different. We're talking about love of game, love of teammates. then in that right, the quarterback doesn't love his teammates or love the game of football any differently than any other position. That love
but
is
why?
The same.
It takes more time to be successful at quarterback. It takes more study habits. It takes more discipline to be a quarterback.
I get that.
It's different.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that is part of your job. Doesn't mean you love it more. And so
you should.
If I'm talking about what I love about my teammates, that has nothing to do with what position I play. That has everything to do with I've been next to these guys for the last few years, and we've worked hard to accomplish some things, and I've developed a love for them and a love for this team. And I don't think quarterbacks and how much time you've put into the building changes how much you love that. Now, quarterbacks, if we're talking about just worried about getting hurt, I mean, we see quarterbacks get hurt. Mackenzie Milton just got hurt. So we see quarterbacks getting hurt. And so if all that matters to us at this point is being healthy for the NFL draft and that's our concern, then I don't see a difference between whether you play quarterback or whether you play defensive tackle, defensive end, or receiver. If that's our focus, that's our focus. But I believe that I loved my teammates and I loved the game just as much as you do, and that doesn't change just because you played quarterback.
The big question, though, and I'm not saying you do, I'm just saying the big question that quarterbacks are always asked, do you love football or do you love what football provides you? Right now, that question can be asked of Will Grier, and he's probably going to have a more difficult time answering it because he chose not to play in the bowl game. Now, I don't blame Ed Oliver for not wanting to play against Army. I don't blame Greedy Williams for saying, you know what, I'm good. I don't need to play against UCF. I get that. But at quarterback, it's just different. And you hold quarterbacks to a different standard than you do every other position. And I think it's very, very fair to ask difficult questions of Will Grier as to why he chose not to play in the bowl game.
Are you saying somebody's going to pass on him because of this? Like he might say, hey, I didn't want to play.
I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked.
NFL doesn't pass on guys if they can throw.
That's what I was going to say. I think what we've seen in the past is the NFL hasn't cared about guys missing bowl games. But to Greg's point, they haven't really dealt with a big time quarterback who's done that. So we could see some interesting. I'm agreeing with both of you, Joey. Calm down. Okay, more to come on College Football Live. Saturday, bowl season begins on ABC. North Carolina A&T taking on Alcorn State in the Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl at noon. And then we've got all kinds of stuff coming your way in the College Football Playoff semifinal December 29th on ESPN right here on ESPN.
This is College Football Live, presented by ZipRecruiter. College Football Live is presented by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And in part by Tostitos, for every kind of fan.
Let's take a look at who was smart under pressure, brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Kenneth Brinson in the Army-Navy game, forcing and recovering a fumble on 4th-and-12, Army would then score the game-winning touchdown on the ensuing drive. Impressive stuff by Brinson. Also, let's find out who was playing with style, presented by DXL. We go to the FCS quarterfinals, the best of the weekend, and we're talking about North Dakota State and what they've done. And Alabama and North Dakota State actually have a lot in common here. They've dominated the sport of college football recently. Since 2011, the Tide and the Bison have combined to win over 90% of their games. Quickly, before we have to say goodbye, who's more impressive, Alabama or North Dakota State? Greg.
Alabama, just because of the level they have to do it with. But my goodness, North Dakota State, that's about as dominant as you can find, Joey.
I'm going North Dakota State. Winning is winning. North Dakota State does it as well as anyone.
We love the Bison on College Football Live.